1 Kings 17th chapter, please. Stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. And start reading at verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've given us your Word, that it is true, it is absolute, and we're so grateful for your Word. And once again today, we thank you, Father, for the soul that was saved. Thank you for what you've done in this place today, and we certainly ask you now to help us, Lord, tonight as we preach your Word, to be what we ought to be, and Lord, to give us the power and wisdom that we need. Now you help us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I have no idea what Elijah did before he came upon the scene in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Nothing is said of him before that. I'm sure he was busy doing something, but we do not know what it was. For some reason, all at once, God brings him on the scene and gives us some few details about him, and then heads into a very interesting ministry. Elijah is, of course, one of those great prophets of God. But there were some things in Elijah's life that God wanted to not only do for Israel, but also wanted to do for Elijah. That is always true. When God uses a man, God uses an individual, he's not only using him to help other people, but he's also doing things in his life to help him. That's the way God does things. And we find that here he is, Elijah, coming upon the scene. He has one job to do right off. He stands before King Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, tells him there's not going to be any rain, no dew whatsoever, and then he's gone. That's the first assignment God gave him. You go stand before King Ahab. Now that's no light thing. King Ahab was a wicked man and would have had no qualms whatsoever if God would have allowed it to have slain Elijah, get rid of him. In fact, he spent a lot of time hunting him for him later on. And then all at once he gave Elijah a new assignment. And immediately he done one thing, and he gave him a new assignment. Let me read to you a little quote that I wrote down here that a man said one time, which I think is a good quote. I'm not preaching on the will of God tonight, but let me say to you, it's something we ought to be reminded of. He said, if you are confused about the will of God for today, it may be you did not obey the will of God yesterday. I think that's a great statement. Elijah had obeyed God. He stood before King Ahab, and then all at once the word of the Lord came to him and said, here's what I want you to do now. Now God guides each and every one of us in wonderful, wonderful ways, and sometimes God does that over a lengthy period of time. Have you been there? I have been there. You probably have too. God just does things sometimes, and he certainly does it in his own timing. But here we find him right after he had spoke with Ahab. We see him simply telling him, go up to the brook Cherith, and it's there that I want you to remain. I want you to do some things there. And what it is I just want you to go there, be there, and I'll feed you and take care of you. He didn't have any great assignment for him. He didn't have anything that he was going to go out and be preaching to the thousands. He simply was to go up at the brook Cherith and just spend some time there until God wanted him to do something else. So I believe also there is in life some assignments that a lot of times we don't care much for. God tells us sometimes to do things when we probably would rather be doing something else. And I don't know anything about Elijah. I don't know how he felt about going up to the brook Cherith, but it was necessary in his life. It was necessary for more than one reason in his life, but certainly he did what God said to do. Now, there's some things that we would rather do than others. I don't know how he felt about it, but let me say to you, all the assignments that God gives us are not going to be up here great big high, great big things that God's going to use you for. There's the times when God takes you up to Cherith and sets you down and says, now you remain here for a little while. I've got some reasons for that. That's the way God works. Don't always understand the way he works, but he certainly does it, and it is perfect work that God does. One of the things that Elijah needed at this time was protection for his life. He needed to be protected. Let me say to you, he was not a very popular person, certainly not with King Ahab. Let me say to you that Ahab did not call him into his palace and say, Elijah, I would like for you to be the chaplain of the palace. We don't find him doing that. I don't also see the Rotary Club making him the man of the year. And I certainly do not see the Ministerial Association inviting him to preach. Elijah was a tremendous man of God, just straightforward, doing what he was supposed to do, carrying the message that he was supposed to carry. And that was an unpopular message. Ahab, in fact, spent a lot of time hunting him down, wanting to destroy him. That's the kind of prophet that Elijah was. God used him for that kind of ministry. But let me say also, and it is true, many times obedience to God, like in the case of Elijah, does not bring honor, but brings reproach. Many times that just being obedient to God is not going to cause you to be honored. It's not going to put you on the front page with everybody saying nice things about you. I think all of us, that would be a good principle, something we need to remember, every single one of us. When you stand for God, when you walk with God, just remember it's not going to always be a popular thing. We understand that, and certainly that was the case of, I've got something here in my pocket I need to get rid of, whatever it is. Anyway, it was a case with Elijah. He was not a very popular person with Ahab, and in fact, when you'll find out, in this time, he was not a popular person with the people of Israel. I've thought many times about that. I've thought, why was Elijah having to be taken up to the brook Cherith and there fed? Why was he then sent up to Zarephath and a widow lady happened to take care of him if he was the great prophet of Israel? We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But let me say to you, in the protection of Elijah's life, Satan wants to destroy a servant of God. And when I talk about servants of God, I'm not just talking about a preacher or missionary. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Anytime we serve the Lord, Satan is not proud of that, does not want you to do that. But God has the ability to protect your life. And I've said this many, many times, and I try to keep this before you. You walk in the will of God. You stay in the middle of the will of God, and nothing can happen to you unless God says it's okay. Now, you keep that in mind. That's why it's so important you stay in the will of God. Because outside of the will of God, things can happen that normally would not happen, because God will allow that too. So you stay in the will of God. You be obedient to God and stay in his will. That's very, very, very important that you do that. And then nothing can happen to you unless God says it's all right for it to take place. So I've said it before. I want to encourage you in that. You're in the will of God. There's no one can take your life and says God unless God says it's time to go home. Amen. We don't know when them days are, whenever God's done with us. I still look back on Bob Sizemore, young man in his 30s, 35, 36 years old. I think it was 36, I can't remember. A friend of mine, pastor, got cancer and just died. I sat with him many, many days, rubbed his legs and helped him because he's hurting so bad. But a friend of mine, and God took him home. I don't know why that. I went to Indianapolis school there, where Tom's going, only it was in IBC then, where Tom's going, and went with a man by the name of Dave Stone, a friend of mine, and God took him home early. I don't know why God does all these things. It's none of my business why he does all these things. I'm just saying, though, that you're in the will of God, just let God take care of it. You just stay in the will of God. That's why I want to tell you young people, you stay in the will of God for your life. Don't you get out of it. You just stay in God's will. Wherever that's at, whatever that's doing, you stay in the will of God. And you do that, and God will take care of you. He'll help you. And when he's done with you, he'll take you home, and you'll be better off. Amen. Now, you don't seem like it now, but you'll be better off. You'll be in heaven, be with him, you see. And that's okay. Amen. So I'm just simply saying, stay in the will of God for the rest of your life. Just stay there. Don't get out of the will of God. Now, I want to show you that some of this, I believe, was judgment against Israel. Elijah being taken up to Cherith and stayed there, I think, was a judgment statement by God Almighty against Israel. And I'm going to show you some scriptures and why I believe that. But I want you to go with me over to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, the 74th chapter of the book of Psalms. In verse number 7 says, they have cast fire into thy sanctuary, they have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land, and we see not our sign. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. And he says, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? And what I want you to do is, in these verses, we're going to turn to a couple, three more places, but I want you to listen to what happens when a nation, a people sins and gets away from God. God many times will remove the prophet. The true prophet of God will be removed from that nation. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yes, he'll send warnings to them, but when they have so rejected it, he removes them. That is a judgment of God. He took Elijah here up to Cherith and let him be up there for a period of time, a great prophet of God, and got him out, I believe, because of the wickedness not only of King Ahab, but of the people of Israel. At that time, they was in a horrible backslidden condition. If you go with me to Psalm, the 109th Psalm, verse 16, says in verse 16, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart, and as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him, as he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. And once again, he's simply telling us when a nation, when a people, when a church does not want the blessings of God, God's not going to force it upon them. If we here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church want God's blessing upon this, we better be willing to ask him for it and show through our lives and our dedication to him that we want his blessings. That we want the will of God done here in this place. We want him as the one whom we honor and glorify. And we show forth that that's what our desire is here as a church. And that's what we want. And that's what we need, you see. And so if we don't want that, and I'll talk about that in a minute, let me say to you, God can write Ichabod across churches, which he's done it all over this land. The Spirit of the Lord has departed. That's what Ichabod means. And God has done that to churches all across this land. And if we don't want him, then he won't stay. He's not going to come where he's unwanted. Now, also in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 15. But Jerusalem... That's in the 32nd chapter, verse 15 of Deuteronomy. But Jerusalem waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, well, I'll hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Once again, God says, you don't want me around? Fine. I'll withdraw myself from your presence. I'll take the blessings of God from your presence. The reason I'm telling you this is I believe there's so many pulpits in this land today that are barren, that the Word of God is not being preached. And I believe basically it's a judgment of God upon this nation. I believe the weakness of the churches is a judgment of God upon this nation. We have for so long not wanted God and His Word to be supreme in our life. What most of the time we want to do is we want to just play around with the Bible and pick and choose what we want and what we don't want. God doesn't work that way. And he demands that we take the Word of God and that we preach it and we teach it, and also then that it's taken into our hearts and we live it. And I believe that we've so been taken up here in America with so little spiritual interest in spiritual things that God has withdrew from churches all over this land people who will preach the Bible, the Word of God. I believe that when men and women want to go home and spend more time in front of the TV and watching football games and baseball games and those kind of things, rather than to spend a few extra moments in the house of God hearing instructions from the Bible, the Word of God, we're in real trouble. And that's what's happening in America. We've said, God, we're not interested in the instructions of the Word of God. We're interested in all of these other things that we can do and can find to do. And because of that, I believe that God has removed from the pulpits of this land over and over and over. And let me say basically this, you don't see a nationwide or a national evangelist today that's out there making a difference in this world. They may be making differences in certain churches around, and thank God for that. There's wonderful things going on. But we do not have a national evangelist or a national man of God that's going across this country and raising and just taking the Word of God and just preaching it, and no matter what happens, and just going all over the country and a nation being willing to listen to that. You don't have it today. It's nowhere. There's not a man in this nation that's doing it. Nowhere. We've lost many of the old-time men of God that done it for many years. I remember reading about Bob Jones Jr., Senior. Bob Jones Sr., great man of God. I mean, they had revivals like you haven't seen revivals. They had the old tabernacle meetings. They built tabernacles. I mean, multitudes came to them. There came a time even in his life that it got to the place where they could not revive those old tabernacle meetings because the people didn't want them anymore. We're coming in a day, and I realize we're nothing here in Jasonville, Indiana, as far as the worldwide situation. But I want to tell you that we had a tent meeting here last year, and people don't want to come to a tent meeting. We couldn't hardly get the lost folk into a tent meeting. We're used to you. Years ago, Brother Charles and some of you other guys remember when we had tent meetings way back, Bob Kelly come in here. I mean, God done some things. But I'm just saying to you, we've just snubbed our nose at God Almighty. And we've just said, we don't want you. And so God is withdrawing the power of God in many pulpits because they don't want it. You've got these liberal churches where people will sit there and you'll accept that. They'll let that happen. And then the preacher gets up there, because he don't want to lose his job, and he gets up there and whitewashes everything and gives them sundaes with cherries on top of it, and they go home feel good about themselves. This is not a time we ought to feel good about ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Now, we ought to feel good about ourselves what we are in Christ. Thank God for that. And we ought to feel good about ourselves. But we ought not to feel good about America. And we ought not to even feel good even here at Blessed Hope. We ought to always say, God, what is it you want? God, how can we be better? We're not what you want us to be. We want to be better. Yes, we've got a wonderful good things here. But you know what, God? We could do better. We could be better for you. And that ought to be our attitude always, you see. Now, back in during World War II, there was a British newspaper editor back in World War II that came out with something during the time of the war. And here's what he said, and I want you to listen to it because I think it fits America today. But here's what he said. We have been a pleasure-loving people, dishonoring God's day. He says, we have preferred motor travel to church going. Boy, don't that sound familiar. That's what he said. Now, this was back in World War II in England. And he said, now there's a shortage of motor fuel. Now, that was back then. Now, he says, we have ignored the ringing of church bells calling us to worship. Now, the bells cannot ring except to warn us of invasion. He said, we have left our churches half empty when they should have been well filled with worshipers. Now, they are in ruins. He said, the money we would not give to the Lord's work now is taken from us in higher taxes and the high cost of living. And he says, the food for which we refuse to give thanks now is unobtainable. The service we refuse to give God now is conscripted to our country. Lives we refuse to live under God's control are now under our nation's control. What this man was saying back in World War II that happened to England, certainly, and it's been long past, has happened in America. We have ignored the house of God. We've ignored the day that the Lord has set aside for God's people to gather. Now, if we was a nation, we was a community that loved God, this place honestly would be filled. We'd have to build on more on the sanctuary. But we're living in a time when folk do not care about the things of God, and God says, okay, you thumb your nose at me. Let me say to you, I believe this with all my heart. I believe judgment is not coming. I believe it's already here. I believe things are already happening. I believe God is putting his hand of judgment on this nation and on the communities of this nation. I believe it's happening now. And I think we're going to see some horrible things on down the road if we don't get right with God. I just believe that with all my heart. Now, folks, the only way we can do that is individually get right with God. Individually, get our families right. Get ourselves right. We need to do that. We need to draw close unto the Lord. That's why I think that building project out there is so important. Folks, we got to get it done. We got to get that accomplished. We got to get it done for the glory of God. Got to get where we can get some boys and girls in here and teach them. And some of these Sunday school teachers will say amen to that. Boy, I'm trying to teach over here. Brother Bo, I heard that. He's over here in this little trailer. It's a mess. Trying to teach some boys out there, and we need the Sunday school rooms, and folks, it's going to take folk that's willing to sacrifice to do it. It's just going to take it. That's what it takes. Isn't it worth it? Is them boys and girls worth it? Isn't it better? Isn't it better to have that than to have a half million bank account? Isn't it better to have, you say, I ain't got to have, well, how about it? Maybe 200,000 bank account? How about 100,000 bank? Isn't it better? Isn't it better to have that sitting out there than some of this other stuff? Isn't it better we get the job done, get boys and girls in here? Because the day is coming, folks, when we're not going to be able to do that. We need to do it now. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you here, Elijah was, I believe him taking him to Sherith was a part of the judgment of God. He removed a man of God out of Israel there for a while and didn't let him prophesy. Now, we've seen how God protected his life. God took care of Elijah. He needed protection from God, and God took care of him. He protected him. Not only that, he needed provisions for food and water, and God took care of that. We read that story, and God said, I'm going to let the ravens feed you. I'm going to let you drink of the brook. and I'll take care of the needs of your life. And God did that for him. Now, I want to read to you something that a man said about the raven. You may have read about the raven before, but I wanted to read this to you. I want you to listen. It was a bird so fierce that we have fashioned one of our most forceful and repulsive words out of it. Ravenous. Here's what he said. That bird had a passion for picking out the eyes of men and animals. It loves to maul the sick and the dying. It swallows with vulturous gurgle everything it can put its beak on. And yet all the food Elijah gets for 6 months or a year is from the raven. God said, I'll take care of you. I may send a raven to take care of you. I've thought about that so many times. I wonder where he got that food. It may have been maybe some meat that had died. Maybe he tore off with his claws, tore off a hunk of it, took it over. Oh, I got to thinking, maybe he slipped into the palace of Ahab. Took it off his table. Got a big old loaf of bread one day and just picked it up and carried it off to Elijah. Said, God's prophet needs some food. You know, God's doing good at doing things like that. I don't know where he got it, but folks, it was a strange situation for a raven to bring food to somebody. God does things like that. That's the way God does it. You see, he has all kinds of ways to supply for the need that we have. And sometimes he uses the ravens. Amen. You know, I've thought about that. And God has all the supply that you and I need. All we need is the faith to believe that we have a God that will supply. That's all we need. He is able to do all things. Amen. And so he uses the ravens sometime. Let me say to you, he's not limited by the sources that he has to provide for us, to provide for you. He's not limited. He can use all kinds of ways, any way, to provide for God's people. We need to keep that in mind. If he can use a raven to feed his prophet, folks, he can do all kinds of things. He can use anything he wishes to take care of the needs of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the needs of you personally. Amen. You see, we don't always get that from God from where it's expected. God enjoys doing things that are, when I say unnatural, that are not the normal. God enjoys, rather than sending a runner from Ahab's palace to bring it, he sent a raven to bring it. God enjoys doing that. You know why? Because then we know it come from God. You see, if somebody had run from Ahab's palace and come out there to Cherith and brought all that, we just thought, well, that guy had a good heart. He wanted to help him. There's no doubt where this come from. No doubt whatsoever. God done it in such a wonderful, wonderful way. So in other words, he needed to supply the need of his prophet, and he certainly did that. I think what that does is help us keep our eye on God Almighty. Just knowing God's going to take care of us. Keep our eye there. Not on man. Keep our eye on God. Say, God will take care of us. Amen. God will supply. Jehovah Jireh. God will do it. Now, and in many times you're going to look around you and you're going to see and you're going to look and you're going to look for ways to get help. I had a man just the other day I was talking to, and they was having some needs and on the church and their church. And I said, don't worry about it. God's already got it planned out what to do about it. He said, I hope so. I said, don't hope so. Quit hoping so. That's not faith. I said, God's already got it planned out. God already knew before the beginning of time what you and I need. And he's got everything in place. I think this is so wonderful about it. He's got everything already in place to provide whatever it is. He's already had it in place for a long time and just moves it up, gets it done, takes care of it. That's what I told this man. I said, don't worry about it. God, he again said, I hope so. I said, you could hope it. I said, you know so. God will take care of it. If it's a need, God will take care of it. Now, I'm standing here saying that knowing we have a great need out here to finish this building. We have a great need. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. God is able to take care of his people. I'm saying that as a pastor of this church. I'm saying that knowing we need thousands of dollars to finish the work out here. I understand. I know all of that. But I'm saying our God is able. Amen. I just know he is able, you see. Now, people will fail you sometimes. People that you've counted on for years and years may turn from you, but God won't. Now, you mark that down. You listen to this preacher. People will turn away from you, but God won't. No, God never will. Now, you remember that. You mark that down. You remember God will help you. That's why it's so important to stay in the will of God. Now, you stay in the will of God, and God will help you. You get out of the will of God, you're asking for trouble. Now, you get in the will of God, and God will help you. You stay in the will of God, and God will help you. Amen? All right. You just remember. That's what Elijah done, you see. So God used the ravens here to supply the need. And let me say to you, I really believe with all of my heart, it was a shame for Israel that this had to happen. This was a man of God. This was a prophet of God. The whole nation should have risen up and said, Elijah, we'll take care of you. We'll make sure that you're taken care of. We'll see that you're fed. We'll see. But no. Raven and a widow lady. The only ones was taken care of. Amen. That was a shame to that nation. Israel was in such a backslidden condition, they didn't worry about what Elijah needed. All they was worrying about is they'd get some rain. That's all they was worried about. They weren't concerned about a man of God. So I say to you, God is able, even when it doesn't seem like anyone else cares, God can step in and provide the need of your life. Amen. God can do that, and God will do that, you see. He was fed because he was where God wanted him. He was taken care of where God wanted him. Now, I'm saying this, I'm stressing this, because I want you to understand that sometimes we'll look around and say, well, I don't understand. It's not happening for me. You may be out of the will of God. You may just be thumbing your nose at God Almighty, saying, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way, my timing, my whole thing. You don't do that and get by with it. You stay in the will of God, you'll get provided for. Amen. You'll get provided for. You stay in the will of God. Amen. Always do that. Young people, stay in the will of God. When you grow up, God will help you. God will see to your needs. He'll take care of you. Stay in the will of God. Always be exactly where God wants you to be, you see. Now, and let me say to you, obedience was absolutely necessary. Going back to 1 Kings in verse number 5, he said, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The reason he got fed there, the reason everything worked out all right there, is because he was willing to do exactly what God told him to do. Let me say also again, in passing on this, and then we'll go on to another point, but let me mention it to you. God knew exactly what he needed for that day. God brought him a meal at a time. Now, we're Americans. We're Americans. You know what we want? We want God to give us provision for about, maybe 10, 15 years. So everything will be all settled down, We'll have this security, Listen, there's a lot of times in our lives when God just provides one meal at a time. I mean, if we don't be careful, we begin to trust in all of that we've got laid up. You've got to be awful careful about that. You've got to be sure. Now, I've told you this before. You be sure of something. When you lay up some things, that's all right. That's using wisdom. But you may be sure to thank God for it every day. Thank God for what he's done. Amen. God done that for you. He's the one that did it. And you need to remember that. You see, we all need to remember that. All right. Now, also, let me say to you that was a miracle from God. The ravens coming in was a miracle from God. The water wasn't. It was already there. Now, of course, it was from God, but the water was not a great miracle. He said, you just drank of that brook. That brook had been running for many years. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that, I want you to listen to me, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's many times that God just uses that which is natural. He doesn't always, and I've told you this before, but I'm stressing again because I think it's important in where we're at in our building program. I want you to listen to me. God will use that which is already available through the membership of this church before he's going to provide through some miracle. You better listen to me. Now, that's the way God does. If God needs to perform a miracle, he'll perform a miracle. But what every single one of us in this church should do is say, God, and I'm saying this to my God, I'm going to ask him. I already have. I want him to show me some things. And I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Okay? And you need to do that too. It may be God just wants you to take some of that money you've had in the bank for years and years and use it in God's work. Well, you don't like that, do you? No, you really don't. Because you like your little security blanket. I'm saying to you, if he doesn't tell you, fine. But you better ask him. This is a work of God being done. We don't need security blankets. We need the will of God. Then, if it's all in, God will send the ravens in. Do whatever's necessary to be done. But he don't do that just for the fun of providing a miracle. He uses the normal way first, just like he did with the water. There's the brook. Drink of the brook. And pretty soon it dried up and he had another plan. God already had another plan. So what I'm simply saying to us, folks, let's listen to that principle and let's hear it. God wants you to ask him what you should do and then do it, whatever that is. Amen. Just do whatever God tells you to do. You know, but he does allow brooks to dry up to get us changed places. So I want you to go up to Seraphath now. You brooks dried up. It's done. And you know God does that in our life. God's done that to me in different times in my life. Don and I both know that. We've looked back on it many times. Just to get us ready. Sometimes brooks dried up to get us back where we wanted or where he wanted us to be to just go on and get to that place, wherever it was. God just dried some brooks up and done some things. God just does that. Amen. That's just the way he works. So there's nothing wrong with brooks drying up. And not only that, sometimes God changes the source of supply. Sometimes he's got the source out here. I remember when we left here in 1981, went out east, we was amazed how God took care of us. I walked away from a paycheck every week into what I thought was going to be a nothing. I didn't know what was going to happen. But we went because we knew that God wanted us to go. And it was amazing how God stepped in and just provided day after day, week after week. There was never a time when we was gone that God did not provide for us. Sometimes he sent ravens. Sometimes he sent people. But God provided. Stay in the will of God, young people, and God will provide for you. You know, sometimes it's bad. Jobs end sometimes. That looks like disaster. That's serious business. Man's job. Man works. He takes care of his family. And boy, I tell you, that's hard. But you know, sometimes that happens. Brooks dry up. Friendships may wither away. Popularity may wither. John the Baptist saw that. John the Baptist was a man who was so popular to start with, but it wasn't too long he wanted his head. But you know what? God will never do you wrong. Never do you wrong. God will always provide, you see. So what I'm trying to say in this is dried up brooks are not a sign of God forsaking us. I want you to remember that. There's brooks that dry up in our life, and it's not because God is forsaking us. God may be changing the direction of our ministry. God may be changing the direction of your life. But God will never forsake you or leave you. So Elijah needed something else. He needed some spiritual preparation. I believe he needed this solitude that God gave him up there at Cherith. I believe he needed that time to prepare him for what was coming in the future. He needed some time alone with God. Be still and know that I am God. This is one of the greatest needs, I believe, and we as Christians today is to take some time. We're such busy schedules. We're always on the go. We need some time alone with God. To just simply talk with God. C.H. McIntosh said this. He said, our time of training in secret must far exceed our time of acting in public. John the Baptist spent most of his life in the wilderness getting prepared for a very short ministry. Spent all of that time in preparation getting ready for a very, very short ministry. David spent all the time in the wilderness with the sheep, and you can see the effect of that throughout the rest of his life. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert just to get ready to be used of God to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. What I'm saying is God has to prepare his servants. Now you say, Brother Ross, that's what I need. I just need to be alone with God and need to just take some time off. I just need to be off and not doing anything. Well, let me ask you a question. What are you preparing for? Because if you need that, then you're preparing for something. You don't need it just to be doing nothing. Amen. God's got something to prepare for you. What are you preparing for? At the same time, every single one of us needs time alone with God Almighty. I want to say that to you. Take your time alone with God. You need that. You need to be alone with Him. You need to spend some time with your wonderful God. You need Elijah needed that. Not only that, he needed humility. I believe he was cut off out of the limelight on purpose. He just stood before King Ahab, and I believe God took him out of the picture and set him aside there at Cherith because he wanted to humble him. Every single one of us needs humble. If we exalt ourselves, the Bible says, we shall be abased. If we humble ourselves, we shall be exalted. Humility comes before honor. And God will humble all of his servants. You get a proud servant, he's not worth anything. Not worth 5 cents. And God can't use him like he wants to use him until he breaks that and gets him humbled before God Almighty. And I think, again, that God humbled him and took him out of the limelight. Also, one other thing. Elijah needed patience. And God gave him patience. You know, kind of hard to go up at Cherith, sit there for however long he was. Something was 6 months, something was close to a year. Sit there alone. That'd be kind of hard. But God taught him patience. You and I need to learn patience. God's timing is perfect. I remember when I went to school, there was many of them. Some up there. I felt it sometimes in my own life. It'd just be better just going on out and get busy. I was busy anyway. I was pastoring a church, being a daddy, being a husband, and working full time at Anaconda Lumen Company, and getting sermons, pastoring the church, and getting sermons, and driving forth to school. And I was pretty busy. And sometimes we could just simply say, it'd be better if we just get on out into the ministry and put all this behind us. But God knows the timing. He knows what you and I need. Amen. So he builds us. He does that. And he gives us patience. We've got to learn patience. You know it took patience, I believe, to stay at Cherith? I believe it took patience to stay up there. Now, circumstances of life are going to come your way. Brooks are going to dry up. Hard times are going to come. That's part of God's training. There is none of those things that are any reason for us or an excuse for us to depart from the will of God. There's all kinds of circumstances you're not going to like in life. And there's going to be some brooks that dry up. And you're going to face some very difficult, hard times in life, but that gives you no reason, or me a reason, to depart from the will of God. Amen. I hear so many excuses, I get sick of them, as though God's the problem. God's the fault. If God hadn't done this in my life, that I would be all right. No. Our problem is us. Yeah. It's our problem. We need to remember that. So patience must not be confused with procrastination either. A lot of times, well, I'm just being patient. No, a lot of times we're just procrastinating. You've got to be sure that it's God's will that you sit around and do this or that, and there are certain areas of your life that you're teaching you some things, rather than you're sitting back procrastinating and not doing the will of God. God has a will for you. You need to go forward in that will. You need to do what God wants you to do. You see, impatience runs ahead of God. Procrastination lags behind. You don't want to be in either one of those situations. You want to be just right where God wants you. Just the will of God. Not getting in any hurry. Let God tell you when. Not lagging back. Say, I'm not willing to do this or that. No. See, Elijah was a man who had to be trained. So all the time he was serving God, he was not only doing something for Israel, God was doing things in his life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your wonderful will. Thank you for the story of Elijah. Ask you, help us, Lord, to learn these truths from it. And Lord, that we'll do right. We'll be trained. We'll help us, Lord, whatever you want us to do and when you want us to do it and how you want us to do it. God, lead us and direct us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.